All right, good afternoon, actually, everybody. It's 12:15, the appointed time for our FAR committee meeting, and I will call it to order. Next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from October 3rd, 2022. Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Are we going to amend it afterwards or change the date?
Well, we haven't had a meeting since our...
We haven't had a meeting since our...
Yes. I thought
it was a typo, honestly.
No.
I was like, wow. We haven't met since October. Yes, I'll second that.
So I have a motion to second. Any further discussion?
No.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. All right. Our next item on the agenda is public comments. So does anyone wish to make a public comment? Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And Mr. DeMore, do you have the timer, sir, or do we need to do that?
I can.
Yes. If you don't mind, sir.
How much time do I get?
2.5 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Well, hey, 316 now report, Mount Pleasant. I just want to thank the committee. I want to thank you, Councilman Ritchie, as chair, for your hard work. I know y'all have dug into the details. There's a lot to look into, and as our fine first responders here will tell you, they live their life in the public, in the fishbowl, and that all filters back to this committee. And I just want to thank y'all for what you're doing. Thank you for the recommendations you're going to make today and for the operational readiness report. I really appreciate it. Thank you. And I know our citizens do too.
Anyone else wish to make public comment? Okay, seeing no one, public comments closed. All right, our next item on agenda is Chief Employees Years of Recognition, Service Recognition.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity to recognize Captain Don Wallenbecker for 10 years of service.
Awesome.
Captain Wallenbecker was recently promoted to our training division, so he works hand in hand with our new recruits. We'll talk about recruit school here in a little bit. But he's really instrumental in training these new personnel that we get into the town. But secondly, he was awarded the Chamber of Commerce First Responder of the Month last month. I had the pleasure of recognizing him for that. And it was really to his dedication to this community. He is our lead CPR supervisor. On his days off, on weekends, he is training the public at a minimum once a month, but it's a lot more than that. He's meeting with HOAs, talking about community safety, CPR, and we've really seen in the community that when people are trained in CPR and AED use, that a lot of times a citizen can save someone's life with an AED or CPR. And Captain Wallenbecker is really instrumental in getting that information out there and training our citizens. So he is a vital part of our organization, and I'm happy to recognize him for 10 years of loyal service. And I will mention, if I may, that we also had Captain Randy Dahlman, and Engineer Ken Franks for 20 years of service. They weren't able to be here today, but we will recognize them in the station for their service as well.
Chief, and Chief, if I may, Captain, again, congratulations, and please have to get up, sir. I had the honor of also being in that same chamber lunch and didn't realize I'd get called up to help award that. Such an honor to recognize our first responders. And you just mentioned that about the AED and CPR training. I'm going to go ahead and put it out here now. I'd like to maybe reach back out to you and get our council and our mayor a training day for that. I think it'd be nice for us to get a training day offered. We'll have to work through the quorum part of it to take a train. Hopefully we'll be able to coordinate that through you, Chief. And I think we'd have some interest in that to see what you guys do. So thank y'all so much. All right, let's move on to budget review. And Mr. Moore, I imagine it's you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Members of committee, good afternoon. Good to be with you as always. If you'll flip to the fire department tab in your budget book, and as usual, I'll go through the highlights, and Chief Mixon knows his budget very well and can answer. If I can't, certainly he can in greater detail. But I'll start with the overall budget, which is proposed to be up 6.6%. It's just over $1 million. And the largest driver of that increase comes in the very first line item that you'll see, and that's under salaries. And in there, you'll notice just about $620,000 of that overall $1 million increase is in straight salaries. That doesn't include fringe benefits that support positions. It's just straight salaries. As you know, we've had a 4% increase COLA and then a 1% on average based on merit and performance. And so, but we've had other positions throughout the town that were taken more individually. You know what they are. We've talked about them, several positions in the fire service. And in fact, firefighter for that position, that pay is up 11%. Fire engineer, that pay is up 11%. Captains, that pay is up 14%. The average increase above that 4% COLA and that 1% that I mentioned is as follows. Now remember, this is above the numbers I just mentioned. For a firefighter, the average increase, $2,201, so 2201. For a fire engineer, it's $2,317. And for a fire captain, it's $4,171. And as I said, it's above the numbers that I mentioned to you. So that's where most of the increase is in the proposed budget, is right there in salaries. And as you look down the first few line items after that, you'll see, you know, the state retirement matches and public safety retirement matches and everything that goes along with that. Other items worth note or noteworthy are uniforms and clothing. There's 300, and this is found in one of the breakdown sheets later on in the budget. There's $310,000 in there for turnout gear for firefighters, making a big push in replacing that turnout gear this year. You know, that's their protective equipment. Also, we're proposed to order a new engine truck for this year. We're doing it a year early, considering the lag time that we're suffering through, not just us, but other communities and fire services across the country. Mentioned the lag time in ladder trucks. We will experience more lag time with fire pumpers. So we're going ahead, and this budget orders one in advance. I won't ask you to go there, but you can. Asset replacement. There's continued funding in there for replacement equipment for the fire department to support some of their specialties. And CIP, there is funding to support the regional public safety training center. And but as a priority, one of the top projects for our capital improvement plan next year is the renovation, sort of replacement upgrade to Fire Station 7, which is on Bowman Road. That's a big priority of ours. In fact, now we're going out shortly to try to seek an architect and engineer to begin the process of that improvement. And so, sir, with that being said, I'm happy to answer any questions, but those are that's sort of the 30,000 foot view of the budget.
Any questions from members?
Mr. Gamora, I believe, and maybe you did mention it earlier, are we not already out on the street for a new ladder truck?
Yes, that's correct.
And when was that order made, and when are we anticipating the receipt?
I'll ask the chief.
Sure. So we actually have two on order right now, Mr. Chapman. Late 2021, we ordered an engine and a ladder replacement. Those two are scheduled to be here the first part of next year. We go to pre-construction, hopefully, in the next couple of months. And then that second ladder that we ordered, that, if you remember last council meeting, y'all approved additional funding for that ladder. That's expected to be here around 36 months in that time frame. So it's an extended build time, but we ordered that unit early as well, that secondary ladder. So
thank you.
Yes, sir.
And that answers some of the questions that have been out on the street without any previous understanding of what all this fire department's doing.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
That's cool. And Chief, if I may ask you, or just remind me, one of those ladder trucks, if I remember correctly, we moved up in the replacement rotation, did we not get it ordered earlier?
Yes, sir.
Off?
The second one that we just ordered in January, that was moved up to anticipate some of those extended build times.
Correct. Very good. Okay. Thank you, sir. I know we'll hear more from you later when we talk about
operational
readiness. Nothing else?
Nothing else.
Mr. Moore, thank you, sir. So is that all we have on the two reviews, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Chief, I'm going to turn it over to you to review of operational readiness. Like I said, I'm sure we'll have more questions and some things for you.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And before thank you for doing this part, Mr. Chairman, if you wouldn't mind, if you and committee are comfortable, if we could get a positive recommendation to the budget committee about the fire department budget, that would be
absolutely. My apologies.
I'll move for approval to to recommend to full council the fire department general fund budget or operating expenditures and the fire department capital fund projects and maintenance.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you for reminding me of that, Mr. Moore.
Thank you.
I was just so excited to hear from the chief because I knew there's some good stuff coming. That does take us to item number six, review of operational readiness. And it's been a while since we've had a committee meeting. But Chief, you and I have been in conversation, in contact quite a bit, and I appreciate your willingness to talk to me. And we go way back, and I appreciate that, and all of our staff, as well as Mr. DeMora. I know there's been a lot done that y'all worked on and that you're preparing that we may know, or I may do through conversations, but I would like our community to know exactly what you're doing. And at the end, I hope you'll let this committee know what else you need at that point. So, sir, at this point, I'll turn it over to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. So I'll start with incident response and what we do. As you can see, and it's the story that continues throughout the last several years, is that our emergency medical response is kind of the bulk of what we do. It's that high-frequency, low-risk call type that we respond to multiple times a day and continues to be sort of our bread and butter. But if you look down, I'll kind of go through each of these, and if you have any questions, please let me know. But our good intent type calls, why that's so high, that's the majority of that is our dispatch cancelment route. So a lot of times when we get dispatched to a call, we'll get further information we're en route to the call that we're actually not needed and we'll cancel. So that's why that call type is higher in there. That a majority of our calls, especially in the auto aid sector, when we're called to respond for auto aid, as we'll talk about in a little bit, much of the time we're canceled en route. False alarms, service calls, and then we get down to fires. You see 214 fires. That's a story that's been similar as well, about 200 fires each year. But really, just because that's a small number, I want y'all to be reassured that that's not something that we take lightly. We realize that fires and hazardous materials type calls are very serious to the community, very serious in nature. So even though it's a smaller portion of our call type, we train consistently on those type calls so that we are ready for when those low frequency, high risk calls are dispatched to us. 10,900 calls. This is the first year we've broken 10,000 calls. So a busy season last year, but consistent with what we see with the incident breakdown. And here's a response to our property, the types of places we're responding to. As you can see, about 50% of the calls we get are for residential calls, for residential homes or multifamily dwellings. And the next largest portion is those healthcare facilities, be it doctor's offices or nursing care facilities, make up almost 20-25% of our call volume. And as you can see, some of the other things are broken out through there, but residential and healthcare facilities make up about 70% of our call types. I don't have any response times for you today. That'll be part of our annual compliance report with accreditation. As you'll remember from last year, we switched our report management system. So trying to blend data from 6 months of an old system and 6 months of a new system has been somewhat of a challenge, but we met with the county last week and we have a good solution. So I'll have those response time numbers for committee as part of our annual compliance report through accreditation a little bit later in the year. Moving on to auto aid. This is data from January through March of this year. As you can see, and as we talked about back in October, the numbers stay same, pretty much similar from what we're given versus what we're receiving. This is not a disproportional call volume for either what we're receiving or what we're given. And what this chart represents, it's not every call that we were dispatched on or that we received aid on, it's every call that someone actually made it on scene. So there's a majority of calls that are canceled en route. So there was close to 400 calls. But as you can see, the ones that actually required either us getting on scene or us receiving aid were 42 and 40 respectively. So auto aid continues to be strong. It's something that we value with the training, with the sharing of resources during emergency response. We have a really strong relationship with our partners. Isle of Palms came in January, so we're still kind of feeling out that relationship and seeing how that partnership is working, but everything is going smoothly, and we still believe in and support these automatic aid agreements. So here's our Fire Academy, and this is a really good story because previously we would send people, two or three personnel to Columbia for the fire cadding, or we may send a couple of personnel to Somerville or North Charleston, all good training opportunities. But what we found starting in 2021 and then the graduation of our first class in 2022 is that having them in-house for that six-month period, having them as a large group of 10 to 12 to 15 people really helps us instill a culture in them from day one, a culture of what we believe Mount Pleasant Fire Department should be, what we believe their training should be, how we believe they should serve the community. So this has been something that we found very beneficial and that we're going to continue to do. Our second class graduated with 14 in 2023 of this year, and we're starting the process again in May with opening recruitment and projected to do a September recruit class again. So this is something that our training cadre brought us, and we definitely couldn't do it without their help. We have some very talented individuals in our department that know how to train personnel and know how to pass along that knowledge. And this is something that we really believe in and we're going to continue to push forward with, and it's been a great success. Apparatus replacement, as we've talked about a little bit already, engine 3 and ladder 5 were ordered in late 2021, expected here early 2024, pre-construction sometime this year. So those are on order. Ladder 503, which is stationed right across the street here on Mathis Ferry at Station 3, was ordered in January. And as you can see in the picture, that's not a Mount Pleasant unit, that's a Bowling Springs unit. But I wanted to represent the type of unit we're going toward with Ladder 3. We went to Bowling Springs last year. We demoed this unit. We rode around with them. We've had the city come over with a similar unit. And how this is different from the ladder trucks we currently have is this is a tractor-drawn aerial, meaning that it actually takes two drivers to operate it. You have one in the front traditionally in the cab, and then you have that person in the back that operates the rear wheels. And what the advantage that we found is that, especially in the south part of Mount Pleasant, as we continue to get more dense and as the buildings get a little bit taller, this type of unit really gives us functionality with being able to get in tight places. We demoed this unit in Ion with our traditional ladder truck, and the places that this unit could go exceeded our current ability when cars were parked in difficult situations. So this is a positive step forward. We believe in this change toward this type of unit. And it is a little more expensive, but we thank you for those additional funds and the ability to kind of transfer toward a new model with a ladder truck here in the south end of town. Also mentioned in the budget presentation, we're ordering engine 502 a year early, which is now engine 506. We've done some readjustments with assignments of engines, but that engine is getting ordered early again in anticipation of those things. So we have three units currently on order, and then as soon as the budget cycle is complete, we'll have a fourth unit ordered. And that's kind of our apparatus replacement schedule. Yes, sir.
What is the height we can get to with this new ladder truck?
So the height doesn't change a lot, 105 to 107 feet. But what this unit does allow you to do is to get the base of that ladder closer to the building. Instead of having the back down or nose in, depending on the circumstances, you can really turn that trailer and get it closer to the building. So getting closer just with maneuverability with tight places is good, but also being able to position that ladder a little bit more closely to the building gives us some additional functionality potentially.
Meaning you can, if you get closer to the building, you can get the full height.
Yes, sir.
As opposed to a lesser amount.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
So the height of the ladder doesn't change a lot, but there is some opportunity to get closer in particular situations that are confined.
Great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I wanted to talk a little bit about fireboat grant. As you remember, back in 2013, we received this unit, Marine 501, through a port security grant. It was close to $300,000, and it's been a really functional unit for us. It has a fire pump on it. It has that enclosed cab for inclement weather, but this has been our primary unit for the past 10 years. But as you can imagine, in salt water and being used consistently for 10 years, it needs a refurb. So last year we received a $160,000 grant to refurbish this unit, and it's going to be a complete refurb from painting the hull to redoing the fire pump, new motors, stronger motors to give us a little bit more speed, and new electronics, excuse me, all of those things. So this unit will be out of order temporarily, but it's for a good reason to do a refurbishment. And in the meantime, we'll have our 23-foot safe boat, which we also got through a grant last year, in its place and able to respond. And just like Ottaway, there's a Metro Marine unit in Charleston that, that relies on DNR and Coast Guard and other fire and police departments in the area. So while our boat is down, we'll have the reserve up, but we also rely on our partners to help us respond, and we in a shared response in the waterway. So a good story about our fire boat, the ability to refurb it and get it freshened up and put back out in service. Station improvements. Again, thank you for your willingness to fund these things. As you know, our stations are staffed 24 hours a day, so they take a lot of wear and tear. But through these initiatives, public services have been very helpful. Station 6 was completely rebuilt, or is actually a brand new station in 2016. Our station 4 on 6 Mile was a complete demolition and rebuild in 2021. And then stations 1, 3, and 5 were fully renovated between 2021 and 22. And as you can see, this is a picture of Fire Station 1, kind of the extensive nature of some of these renovations that involved new insulation, kitchens, bathrooms, flooring, cabinetry, just a complete renovation of these stations. And the last one that we have scheduled is this year, Fire Station 2 in Bell Hall, that will receive a similar treatment, just to bring these buildings, freshen up and continue to be operationally ready for our personnel. And then really the last one that we have to do, they've been done well with renovations, is Fire Station 7, as Mr. DeMore mentioned, that we have some funding in the budget this year and out years as well. This station was originally leased in 1971 from Charleston County, and then we acquired it in 2020 as part of Mount Pleasant property. So it is now our building, and with that, we believe it's time to expand it, redo it, make it more functional for the space. So we are in the selection process now for an architect and engineering firm that's going to help us determine what we could fit on the space, ingress and egress issues, whether we need to acquire a little bit of land to make it happen. So we're in that process now, and it's a total budget of $8 million. So once this process has started, every fire station in Mount Pleasant would have been either be brand new or completely renovated in the past few years. So we're in a really good position with these stations. They remain functional and safe for our personnel. Our public safety training facility, another ongoing project that we really believe in for police, fire, and public services to have a place to train not only our recruits, but also our incumbent employees as well. The start of this year, we opened a temporary classroom facility out there. It really gives us some expanded classroom space. In the past, it's been difficult at our stations to kind of do this training, but now we have a dedicated space out there. And it also is beneficial because when you're out there doing the classroom portion, you can walk directly over to the burn building and do your hands-on portion as well, where in the past we've had to drive recruits out there, and there's a lot of back and forth. So it increases efficiency. It really starts to build that recruit school in one location. So that is a really good thing, and we are sharing that classroom space with police and public services and really anyone in the town that would need to use that classroom space. We're currently updating our master plan documents with our engineering firm and trying to determine kind of our next steps with the funding that we have. And it's looking like infrastructure improvements. Can we get dedicated water out there? We're on well water now. Can we get the easements in place to get dedicated water? Road improvements, a driving pad to help all three departments, with those driver trainings. And then where do we go from there? What buildings do we construct in the out years as we continue to kind of phase this project in? And we do believe this kind of is a regional training facility. There's not a lot of places, especially for police and fire, to train in our area. So we look at this as something that we can share with our partners, that we can open up to people in the surrounding community to train as well. So we're looking at that regional approach. And then lastly, our strategic plan. The plan spanned 2019 through 2023, so we're in our final year of that. We've completed 40 of the 47 objectives in the plan. We really made some good headway in a lot of things in that plan, like auto aid and traffic preemption, additional personnel on the ladders. Like we accomplished those things. But it is time to redo it again. So we're starting that drafting phase in mid-2023, and that'll be something that the committee and council and our community and our employees are all involved in to redo this plan and establish another five-year plan and what goals and objectives we want to accomplish in the next five-year time frame. Mr. Chairman, that's all I have as an update, and I'm happy to answer any questions or provide additional information.
Chief, I appreciate it. Appreciate the presentation. I do have a few questions, but I'm going to refer to my committee members first.
Either one of you have something for Chief?
Yes, sir. Chief, I know we recently went through a complete accreditation program. And in that accreditation, what does that give us in terms of our ability as a fire department to receive federal funds, state funds, as well as how do we compare to other fire departments in the area?
Yes, sir. So I don't know if it directly affects that. I haven't seen that as a question on a grant form. But what I think it does is it definitely gives us a framework of things that outside assessors see that we need to work on. They give us those list of recommendations, and we can work toward that. So I think it gives us a really close look at things that, you know, may be hard to see as an insider, that when outside assessors come in, that we can improve and maybe improve our chances of grant funding. We were the first department in the state to be accredited. Locally now we have North Charleston and the City of Charleston that are accredited agencies as well, and a couple others working towards that. We sit on a state consortium where we meet as a state and try to encourage new departments to get accredited and through that process kind of help them. So it's good to have two other larger departments in the area as accredited partners, because we can work together. We can talk through issues as these new accreditation cycles and manuals come out. We can talk about, hey, how are you addressing this? How are you doing your program assessments? So really, it keeps us accountable to the process.
Right. And does this give you the ability to do on-site training yourself, rather than sending people off?
So yes and no. So we do have personnel that are trained or accredited, if you will, through the state of South Carolina that allows us to do this training in-house, that they have the certifications, whether it be a firefighter class or a hazardous materials class or a leadership class, that we don't have to send personnel either to Columbia or to other fire departments within the state for the training. So we do have personnel that are accredited, and it's not through the fire department accreditation necessarily, but we have several people in-house that can pretty much teach throughout our entire cadre that can teach any class that we need.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And Ms. Corley, you said you did or didn't, ma'am?
No, I had a couple of questions, but at the end.
Okay. Nothing to do with it. All right, fair enough. I guess it was my turn. Chief, I've got a couple of questions, sir. I think your first slide, we talk about the calls for service, and the EMS calls was interesting to me, or the medical calls, if you will. There we go. Rescue, emergency medical services, so over 6,000 calls. Is that us going to support EMS, or those just our calls, or how is that working? I know, like anyone else, they're having challenges to staffing their trucks. Are we taking a lot of their calls for them? Can you elaborate on that a little bit for me, sir?
Sure. So any time that we respond, it's a call that EMS is going to respond to. There's not really a call type that we don't respond to, with the exception of a non-emergent medical call at a doctor's facility. So for those calls, we don't typically respond, because they're with a physician and it's a non-emergency type call. Now, if it's a chest pain call at a doctor's facility, we still respond. So that small subset, you could call EMS's calls, because we don't respond. However, everything else that we respond to is because that's part of our deployment model, that we've dedicated these types of calls that we're going to respond, provide paramedic level or EMT level care to our citizens, and then EMS responds to transport.
And so you are seeing, you're getting your EMS response, and the are you getting what you need from them? So I'm saying, for the most part.
So like any relationship, we're consistently working with them. As you mentioned, they're having staffing challenges as well. But it's something that we monitor on a daily basis. Our battalion chiefs do an end of run report each day. We look at it. If there's something that we see in there that we need to address with EMS, we definitely do it.
And if I understand right, Chief, at least with our response for medical, we're able to stabilize and provide life-saving.
Yes, sir. We have the same capabilities, the same medications, the same training that an ambulance would have. So our paramedics are trained at the same level, if not higher, and they can provide that life-saving or stabilizing care until the ambulance gets on scene.
So everything short of transportation.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chief.
My next question was, I noticed on here, and maybe this is the one, or maybe it's a different slide, but we're going to health facilities. Here we go. Yeah, the healthcare facilities, the assisted livings. Are we going there because their staffing is low? Are we becoming part of their force multipliers? Or are these the kind of calls that you find you're getting because they need help, somebody's falling? I'm just trying to figure out if maybe, once again, we're providing a great level of service. I know we do. But is that what's happening with some of these assisted living and other places you guys are going?
Yes, sir. I mean, you're right. There are times where it's not an injury. It's a call for a fallen person that's uninjured. And, you know, we've tried to work with each facility. We tried to work with the state, with DHEC, with the ombudsman, and with EMS to try to figure out a solution. EMS is helping us to try to figure this out, to try to push non-emergency calls toward a private transport agency, because each nursing care facility is supposed to have an on-call private for something that's not emergent, whether it's somebody needs to go get their blood work checked or whatever it may be. So really trying to work with EMS and realign some of the expectations of what these nursing care facilities expect of us.
And Chief, I bring it up just again, we're at the level of service above and beyond. We go to these places to help these folks out, and we will continue. I know that. So
yes, sir.
Thank you for that. My last thing, Chief, and I think get something after that, but I want to ask you, Chief, and then maybe direct you and your department to come back next committee meeting. So we know about the ladder truck situation, perfect storm. Here we go. We got two trucks go down. It happened. We got to repair it. I know there's another truck went down recently. Got to repair fairly quick. Got that line taken care of. What I'd ask you to do, Chief, and I know we can work with other agencies, and I know other fire departments in the area probably have the same issues too, with trucks breaking down, equipment issues. Would you reach out to the other fire departments that we work with, especially ones that are automatic aid, and get an inventory of what they have as far as vehicles, apparatus, and the same with us? And I think what I'm asking, Chief, is looking at a way to formalize,
yes, sir,
such a request. So when, whether it's Mount Pleasant Fire or Charleston City or whoever it is, has a vehicle that goes down in whatever period of time they'd be out of service, that's something I'd like to hear. Maybe the committee would like to hear what time frame we look at before maybe that would kick in, where we don't have to go ask for it. It's an automatic situation. And the other thing, Chief, I would ask you to please look at, and I think of it, and Ms. Kotow, if you may be able to help with this, I think of it like with our hurricane or our storms, or type of, where we have contracts in place for emergency type rentals. Is there an opportunity for us to go ahead and locate or identify these departments or agencies that have the apparatus we need? So if we had an emergency, we're 90 days down, or whatever the number is, we don't have that ladder truck, somehow it would trigger that emergency rental purchase, whatever it is. And again, I understand that through finance, there's things we have to figure out in budgeting. And Ms. Kotow, I hate to say this, but Chief will probably ask me to do the same. But what I'm trying to do is give you, Chief, everything I can, so when this does happen, and it could happen again, it could happen this afternoon, we as a committee and as your council and as your other staff members here, we're ready to give you what you need to stay operational ready. Great work on that.
Yes, sir.
And so do you think that's something that's doable? That's something that I'm hoping the other agencies will be receptive
to? Yes, sir. We've had some preliminary talks, but we'll reach out and, you know, work through our legal team and our risk manager to work out the particulars and get an answer for you. Yes, sir.
Okay. And Mr. Moore, are you okay with that, sir? I'm just doing something like that. And I guess also, and what comes with that, and I understand talking to you, Chief, and some of your other personnel, there may be some cross-training that needs to be done, or some special training.
Sure.
Even though a ladder truck, we have different ladder trucks, maybe they're not all set up the same. It takes just a little bit of training, or whatever training. It could be a lot of training. So I would love to see that component. I'd love,
yes,
you,
sir,
to bring that back to us next committee, if you would. And my last thing, sir, again, great presentation. Thank you for showing this to us. Would this be something you push down to your brand new firefighter, up to your,
yes, sir,
assistant chief?
Yes, sir.
I know how it is. When I used to do work, when I was that lowly patrolman, I always felt like we were being left out. That I became chief, I felt like I was telling everybody, I always missed somebody somewhere. So She did great work on this. I would certainly encourage you to get shared with your personnel.
I will. Yes,
sir. I appreciate that. Ms. Cooley, I think that's all I have right now. If you got something, ma'am.
I'd like to reiterate what Carl said about, yeah, communication. I think sometimes we feel like we're sending down a message, but sometimes, you know, not everybody hears it. Just making quadruple sure that everybody hears it. And speaking of communication, so I follow your social media page. I don't know if maybe that's, we just need to bump that up a little bit because you guys do such amazing things. But I think we, and that would make it easier for us to just share that information so we can help in getting that communication out. I think that would, that's an easy
yes,
way
ma'am.
To celebrate you all. And when it comes to celebrating, I just wanted to share my experiences as far as the degree of service that our Mount Pleasant Fire delivers. I was in Mount Pleasant schools for 20 years, and we called 911, and you guys showed up first. And I can't thank you enough just to hear that fire truck coming when you've got a kid who's hurting and you're petrified and scared. Just to hear that fire truck, you have never heard a more beautiful noise in your life. So, again, thank you.
Yes,
thank you for all you do. Yeah, I just thought maybe we just need help communicating and sending out the message of the amazing fire department we have. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, we're working on it. Thank you.
And lastly, I looked down at my notes, and Ms. Kotoff, this might be directed at you too, because I know you love to sell assets when we get new ones in. Chief, let's look real hard too, and you make recommendation to us as your committee when we do get these new vehicles in. If we need to keep some back to be part of the pool, so when we have an issue like that, we can roll a vehicle in or whatever we need to do. I'll obviously defer to you and your staff, but let us know if that's possible. And
yes, sir.
Ms. Kotoff will help you find money somewhere else, maybe if we have to. But if we can maybe just have some backups if need
sure.
if that's even possible.
Yes, sir.
Mr. DeMore is cringing. That's all right. I'll take care of it.
Of course.
All right. Thank you, guys. Anybody else have anything else for this committee? Seeing none, the next item will adjourn to adjourn. This is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl. Good meeting.